This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Brennan likes this thing. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 798. Make sure that you check us out at markingout.com. Give us a like on Facebook. Buy a t-shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/markingout. Give us a follow on Instagram at markingout11 and on Twitter and TikTok at markingout. You should also be checking us out on Spotify and wherever else you are listening to this podcast. Give us a 5-star rating to go with that 5-star frog splash, and give us a review, a very, very nice review. Be kind. That being said, it is Dave the Rave. You can follow me on all social media platforms, David, PTDPT. Follow Chris at CMSweeney85 and Chris Swingdog. And follow Brandon at BTTG161. Brandon, how are you?
I am doing awesome, as always. How about yourself?
Doing very, very good. Very, very good. How was your week?
It was good. I had Carvel. I went to Chili's to take advantage of my free birthday dessert there. And I feel like Chili's is severely underrated.
Mm-hmm.
I know it had a big, maybe a bigger comeback in recent years because they went viral on TikTok for their... What are those gimmicks? Those mozzarella sticks?
Mm-hmm.
And the three for me. But I tried their new lemonade. It's got dragon fruit boba in it. I thought that was really good. I also went to Nothing Bundt Cake to get my free buntlet, which was a strawberry cheesecake flavor that's limited to May. I think it's literally their best flavor I've ever had from them. So it's too bad that it's just May.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I did not do anything. Are you planning anything big for your birthday this weekend?
No. Let's see. Going to probably, I mean, it's not really my birthday, but Dan is up from Texas. So me, Dan, Sal, and Chris are all going to meet up. We're going to barbecue. Probably going to meet up another night.
You know, it's supposed to pour all week, right?
Yeah. We'll figure it out, you know. Yeah, but that's really it, you know. This past week was really great. I was invited to be the keynote speaker for the DPT program, the Doctor of Physical Therapy program at Russell Sage College, their hooding and pinning ceremony for the class of 2026. So I got to go up to Troy, New York, near Albany, where I went to school, and I got to do the keynote speaker part of it, and that was very special. It was a very big honor that was bestowed upon me, and it was just great. I got to see a lot of faculty that I had personally, and some new faculty that I wasn't aware of, and then there was also a lot of the students that I got to speak to, and it was really special. It was a really special event, and then after, I got to meet up with some of my friends that are up in that Albany area as well. So overall, it was a great, great experience that I'm very thankful for. But yeah, so I got to do that, and that was really, really special. And if you haven't seen my Instagram post, go check it out.
If you haven't seen our TikTok post, check it out.
Yeah, you could do that too. So yeah, but we did have Monday Night Raw taking place this past week, kicking off with Roman Reigns.
Again. Pulling up without his title.
You know what? If it's his thing, then I'm going to accept it as it's just his thing.
Adam Pearce was angry over what happened last week. He said that this week he's doing things his way. And Roman Reigns was like, I just need time to handle it. I'm going to call Jacob Fatu out. And then Jacob Fatu's music hit. He went to the ring to call Roman Reigns out. The Usos showed up instead. Jay had a chair. Jimmy wanted to talk first. Jay finally had enough, swung on him, and Jacob Fatu put him down. He locked the Tonga death grip on Jimmy. Jay hit him with the chair. Zero effect. He got locked in the Tongan death grip. And then Roman Reigns came out. They fought. He got locked in the Tongan death grip again. Jay broke it up with a spear. Jimmy hit the splash. They hit the 1D. Fatu was almost immediately, like, up. So they locked him in the ropes. Roman hit a few Superman punches, a bunch of super kicks from the Usos, a spear from Roman Reigns. And then Adam Pearce came out. Roman told him to do whatever he wants now. He's done. And Jacob Fatu was not down. He got up again, got on the microphone, and issued a challenge for Tribal Combat.
Yeah, so we'll see how that, we'll see who interferes in that matchup, and if anybody's going to be interfering on behalf of Jacob Fatu.
The other two Tribal Combat matches were Jey Uso at SummerSlam 2023, and then the Netflix special, or not Netflix special, the Netflix debut episode of Monday Night Raw against Solo. Roman Reigns won both of those. I feel like Jacob Fatu kind of has to win this.
I hope so.
And then later on, LA Knight questioned the Usos, and he wasn't happy about what they did and about what they're doing, painting them in the same kind of light that I've been saying it for weeks at least, kind of painting them like heels.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that inaccurate? I don't think so.
No, I it's hard to tell who's the heel and face during this, but I think it's very accurate to say that those are the heels. You know? I think so. But after that, we had Finn Balor pick up the victory over JD McDonagh in a street fight. It was a nice matchup. They went all out for it.
I would have preferred for this to not follow up an announcement for Tribal Combat, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that takes away from Tribal Combat. They definitely put on a good match. But should they have broken that up?
I mean, the only thing that you would be able to put there is the Los Americanos matchup.
I think you don't do...
Green Page.
I think you don't do a street fight after... I mean, a Tribal Combat match is basically a street fight.
I mean, you only have two more matches that you would be able to put there.
No, you just don't do a street fight.
So what would you do?
Not a street fight.
I mean, kind of led to that.
Well, guess what? Don't do a street fight, or don't set up Tribal Combat if you're going to do a street fight.
I don't know. I'm fine with it.
The moonsault from JD off the production cases in the crowd I thought was dope. Balor goes to hit a coup de grace, and Dominic Mysterio ran out. He got attacked. Or he attacked Finn Balor, I should say. And then JD superplexed Finn Balor through the table. JD also held Balor down for a 619. And Finn Balor, at the last second, switches out with him. So Dom hits the 619 on JD McDonagh. I thought that was a cool spot.
Mm-hmm. It was.
And then Finn Balor hit the coup de grace on JD with the trash can over JD's head. Gets the victory off of that. I don't know if we've ever seen that switch out 619 before. I like that.
I wouldn't be able to tell you. Yeah, it was a nice little spot that they had.
After that, Sol Ruka was interviewed. She was interrupted by Becky Lynch, though, and she told Sol Ruka that she's 0-2 on Monday Night Raw. She should go back to NXT. She should leave. And Sol Ruka said she's not going to, and then they went to the ring. Or Sol Ruka went to the ring and called Becky Lynch out, challenged her to a match right then and there on Monday Night Raw, and Becky Lynch was like, no. She spoke about everybody who stepped up to her and everybody that she's beaten, and said that Sol Ruka's not ready for this. And if she thinks she's ready, she'll face her at Saturday night's main event, and Sol Ruka said she'll take the title, and Becky was like, the title's not on the line. And then everyone online was confused because Becky Lynch, if I'm not mistaken, posted a picture of it for the championship on her Instagram story. I don't know if that was a real picture or not that was circulated, but then it turned out that it is not for the title. Like Becky said.
Yeah. Next up, you had Los Americanos pick the victory over Los Hermanos Americanos.
Why do you keep saying Hermanos? It's Hermanos, brother.
Yeah, and the OG Americano.
What language did you take in school?
Tornado Trios match. Not enough. But, yeah, fast pace, good match.
Yeah, it was fun. It was chaotic. Los Americanos all loaded up their masks. OG fought back. They eventually took control again, and Americano OG ate a running headbutt to lose the match.
Yeah.
We had Brie Bella and Paige pick up the victory over the Judgment Day to retain the tag team championships. I liked the match, but really nothing was bigger than the ending. We saw Liv Morgan get involved. The referee kicked her from ringside. She didn't really leave ringside, though. Roxanne tries to use the title. Brie ends up rolling her up and gets the victory. And then Liv Morgan attacked them afterwards. Bayley and Lyra Valkyria made the save. But it's like, there's not, I mean, Saturday night's main event, we have a completely different tag match.
Yeah, I think that the Paige and Brie combo deal, I don't think it's going to last too much longer.
But I really don't want them to lose to Nia Jax and Lash Legend.
I'll take it.
But after that, we were supposed to have the Obafemi Open Challenge. He's in the ring doing his pose and then gets attacked by a mystery man. The lights come back. And it's Brock Lesnar.
I mean, you kind of knew who it was when it happened.
I could play back a video to show that you had no idea who it was.
That's fine. Play it back.
You didn't know until the lights came up.
You see his ponytail, you know. And there's not really many people coming up behind him to attack him, dude.
No, I watched it live with you. That's not a thing.
If you say so. All right. But it was cool. Brock Lesnar just hit him with, I think, 3 F5s and left him there.
But he retired. How dare he unretire? As soon as that spot happened, we didn't think he was retired. You never know.
Yeah, Marks.
And then, of course, at this point, though, I don't think Gunther is in the plans for Minnesota.
I would say that Gunther's going to potentially retire Lesnar still in Minnesota.
I feel like if they're running back. So later on, Adam Pearce questioned Paul Heyman about this. Paul Heyman delivered a contract for Clash in Italy with Brock's signature already on it to set up Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar at Clash in Italy. I think if they're doing that at WrestleMania and then again at Clash in Italy, I feel like you have to have a third match. Like this match, I feel like Brock will go in, get the victory, and then we'll see at SummerSlam Obafemi retire Brock. Maybe.
I wouldn't say that at all.
That's what it seems like right now. I feel like Gunther has been completely moved out of the picture. He's on SmackDown dealing with Cody Rhodes. I know SummerSlam is a few months away, but it's not like
it's not that far away. I disagree with you. I'm sticking to my guns on it.
It's a completely different brand at this point.
I'm sticking to it.
Earlier in the night, we had Seth Rollins make a challenge to the Vision. He called Bron Breakker out specifically. And Paul Heyman ends up giving that to Austin Theory, and then he told Bron Breakker, like, you'll know exactly where Seth Rollins will be. LA Knight also told Seth Rollins that he's going to need help out there, but it won't be from him. He went and left. I thought that was pretty funny. And then Montez Ford, he wasn't about helping Seth Rollins, but Angelo Dawkins seemed like he was maybe into the idea of helping Seth Rollins. And then we go into the main event. We see Seth Rollins pick up the victory over Austin Theory. Seth started this before the match even began, before the bell. I appreciated commentary bringing up Austin Theory's past with Seth Rollins, mentioning that Austin Theory used to be a follower of Seth at one point. But overall, I thought this was a good main event.
Yeah, it was good to see Austin Theory in that main event with Seth Rollins. It was definitely, it was entertaining.
Seth at one point hurt his leg. Logan Paul took advantage of that and eventually gets up to get involved to help Austin Theory hit the stomp on Seth Rollins. Seth kicks out. Logan Paul gives the brass knuckles to Austin Theory. Seth Rollins ends up taking them, but the referee catches him. Seth knocks Logan Paul off the apron, hits a pedigree on Austin Theory, gets the victory. Obviously, as soon as that match is over, Logan Paul jumps Seth Rollins. And then who makes the save? Angelo Dawkins. Or who tries to make the save? He got beat down. So Montez Ford ran down, shaking his head. He was not about that at all. He was obviously not out there for Seth Rollins. He was out there for Dawkins. And Bron Breakker showed up. He's asking Angelo Dawkins, why are we out here? And then he saw Bron Breakker go for that spear. He pushed Dawkins out of the way.
Yeah, he ate the spear.
Wait, did Dawkins eat the spear or did Montez Ford?
Dawkins, Montez Ford hit, ate the spear.
Right, and then Seth Rollins
out of the way.
Rollins attacked Bron Breakker. Logan Paul held Seth Rollins' leg, and he ate a spear.
Spears for everybody.
It opened with spears, and it closed with spears.
Yeah, but that was Monday Night Raw.
Moving on to NXT.
Kicking off with Cam Hendricks and Mason Rook. Picking up the victory over Tony D'Angelo and Miles Bourne. Mason Rook looking pretty good in this.
I hated this match.
Nice.
I feel like since Rook and Hendricks are not established single stars, this doesn't do any favors to them to team them up in a random match. So I didn't like that. Tavion Heights showed up, hit Cam Hendricks, who then goes into Miles Bourne. From there, Rook and Hendricks get the victory. Cam Hendricks specifically gets the victory. Kind of, I don't know if I would necessarily say he stole the victory, but kind of. And then he was interviewed later on, and he said he wants the NXT championship. He was the one that got the victory. Mason Rook showed up and said that Hendricks wouldn't have won if it wasn't for him. And he said he's going to give him a chance to credit him on that. And Hendricks was like, nobody's even going to remember that you were in the match. And it's every man for themselves. And Rook was like, okay, and took him out. I thought that was a better segment than the match itself.
Yeah. I kind of feel like it would have been nice to see Rook in a singles match, but
that segment establishes Cam Hendricks as a cocky person, as someone who will do whatever it takes to get victories. I mean that the match itself kind of did that too, but it in a completely different way. And then it shows that Mason Rook's not taking anybody's anything. So yeah. I liked that segment. I just, that match, not so much. We had Kalani Jordan come out, said that she's better than the whole women's roster that got called up to Raw and SmackDown. She's better than anyone in the back. And she said that she made Lola Vice tap out. So she should be front of the line for the title shot. Never once got a shot at the NXT championship. And then Izzy Dame came out and said that she pinned Lola Vice. She took Lola Vice out. She should get the title shot. And then they argued. Lola Vice came out and said both of the wins didn't matter because it wasn't a win when it was actually something that mattered. I jumbled that up, I feel like. In my head, it would sound like it sounded better.
You did great.
But Lola Vice said that she'll start with Izzy Dame next week. And then Kendall Gray came out, acted as a distraction so Rent Sinclair could attack Kalani Jordan. So we'll put a pin in that as well for next week. Man. We had Jada Parker backstage. The women's locker room were watching the clip of Jada interrupting Natty on Busted Open. And then Jada walked in. She got in Layla Diggs' face. And that sets up a match for next week. Layla Diggs going viral on Twitter this week for her moonsault on Evolve. Her really nice moonsault. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing her finally get more TV time there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next up, you had Tristan Angels pick up the victory over Romeo Moreno. Yeah.
For being two relatively unknown people for a TV audience, I think they did really well in this match.
Yeah, good showcase for them.
Shiloh Hill showed up during the match trying to get people to sign a petition for him to be Mr. NXT. It was a brief distraction, but it wasn't like an ultimate distraction. Angels hit the running knee to the back of Romeo's neck and gets the victory off of that. And then Angels spoke to Shiloh afterwards, and they went back and forth. Shiloh, like I said, wants to be Mr. NXT, so it seems like we're going to be getting stuff between the two of them. I don't know. It kind of seems like WWE is taking the Elegance brand with this character here from TNA. They're even tweeting about Elegance in regard to him. Mm-hmm. So that's a fine line that they should watch out for.
True. Next up, you had Tatum Paxley pick the victory over Lizzie Rain to retain her championship. It was a really good match. Sucks that Lizzie Rain lost, but I understand.
Does it suck, though? I wasn't wanting Tatum Paxton to lose the championship.
Well, yeah, that's why I said it. Like, that's why I understand.
But they had some good back and forth. Some really good reversals as well. Callie Armstrong was watching this backstage. I fully expected to see her either during the match or after the match, but Zarya shows up. It wasn't Callie Armstrong. Zarya takes out Rain and Tatum with a spear. So she's still involved there. We'll see what happens with that. We saw Keanu Carver pick up the victory over Tate Wilder. It wasn't completely one-sided, but Carver controlled the majority of it, I think rightfully so. Wilder got busted open here. But they're building Keanu Carver up as this monster.
Monster. Yeah, he's a beast.
I think there's been some damage to him so far, so they definitely need to build that back up.
Yeah, I agree with you. Next up, you had Vanity Project pick the victory over Dark State to retain their championship as well.
Dark State attack before the bells. Before the bell, not the bells. and honestly, I wasn't expecting Sugars and Lennox to work well together, given all their history, their recent history. They worked great together for all of the match. Ricky Smokes got a quick win, a quick pin at the end. And then afterwards, Cutler and Osiris end up attacking Saquon. Lennox joins in. They powerbomb him through the commentary table. So at this moment, Dark State is a three-man crew now. They've kicked out Sugars. And Sugars, I don't know what's next for him. People love him. So he could very easily be that next big baby face in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
He's fantastic on the microphone. So we'll have to see what happens next with Saquon. Sugars, that is NXT. Moving over to SmackDown. It opened up with Rhea Ripley. And she said Jade and her crew must have missed her last week. And she's itching for a fight. And if Jade wants a rematch, she'll beat her again. It sets up Clash in Italy. Charlexa came out And they spoke about the match at Saturday night's main event. Charlotte questioned where Rhea was last week, and it led to her and Rhea Ripley arguing. Alexa Bliss tried to stop them. Fatal Influence showed up. JC took credit as to why they're arguing. And then Flair challenged them to a tag team match. Later on, Charlotte and Rhea Ripley picked up the victory over Fatal Influence, but Alexa Bliss was originally supposed to be in this match. She told Charlotte she wasn't medically cleared, so Charlotte and Rhea Ripley could get over whatever differences they have. They obviously argued in the match. JC took what looked like a nasty bump off the apron during the match, but I thought this was a good match for Fatal Influence. I liked the ending. Rhea Ripley hit the riptide. Charlotte tags herself in, hits Natural Selection, and gets the victory. That was, I guess, retaliation because she had just gotten hit in the face by Lainey Reed. So I really liked that ending. And then Jade Cargill, B-Fab, and Mia Yim showed up and attacked them. They came out on top there. Tala Tonga picked up the victory over Shinsuke Nakamura. I thought the match was fine. Nakamura finally got Tala Tonga down, and Solo Sikoa got involved, which led to Tala getting the victory. Tala went to help Solo continue the attack afterwards. Tama Tonga actually stopped Solo from hitting that Samoan spike. And then he ends up hitting the cutthroat on Nakamura. They picked him up. Damian Priest made the save. Tama Tonga told Solo that the reason why everyone is coming at them is because they think the family's weak, and Solo needs to handle Damian Priest on his own. Solo Sikoa agreed, and then we go on later on. Solo picks up the victory over Damian Priest. Priest attacks right away, but I feel like they did so much on this episode, and so much of this was just the same. Tama Tonga, you have to go out there, prove it on your own. The MFT were involved. They jumped Damian Priest afterwards. Royce Keyes made the save. Keyes helped Priest up, almost got hit with the South of Heaven. I have to assume that obviously Damian Priest didn't know that it was Royce Keyes, but every freaking match was outside interference. I feel like it's been like that for weeks. Tiffany Stratton picks up the victory over Lash Legend. Open challenge to retain the U.S. Championship. I think this is what happens when you don't have enough women for multiple women's divisions. Chelsea showed up to support Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany, at one point, she gets out of the lash extension with a crucifix bomb. I thought that was nice. Nia Jax gets involved, though. Chelsea runs her into the post. Lash goes to choke Chelsea. Tiffany Stratton rolls her up, gets the victory off of that. Everything was like copy and paste and just slightly edited. Backstage, throughout the night, there were power outages. Found out that it was Danhausen and his cloning machine. And then Miz was interviewed, Miz was annoyed with him. Fraxium showed up, and it sets up a match between Miz and Axiom in Spain next week. We had Trick Williams come out. He and Lil Yachty spoke about the Miz. Carmelo Hayes came out and asked him for a match. Lil Yachty was trying to make a bunch of excuses as to why Trick Williams can't have that match. And then Carmelo kind of goaded him into actually having the match. And Trick picks up the victory over Carmelo Hayes to retain. At least I think this was a title shot. But I thought this was fun. A lot of good back and forth. But the copy and paste, Ricky Saints showed up. And he cheered on Carmelo Hayes like Chelsea Green did for Tiffany Stratton. But Trick Williams ends up knocking Ricky Saints down. And when the referee was dealing with Ricky Saints, Carmelo Hayes had the match won. But Trick hits the trick shot, gets the victory. Carmelo Hayes backstage was pissed off at Ricky Saints and knocked him down. Main event, we saw Cody Rhodes pick up the victory over Sami Zayn. This was set up throughout the night. I wasn't into this match. I'm sure if I was there live, I would have been. But it just felt like I was watching something that I've seen before. And like every other match, man, Gunther showed up. He attacked Cody. Sammy knocked him off. Cody got the victory off of that. But then Gunther attacked Cody after the match. And Sammy stopped it at first, but then ultimately watched Gunther put Cody to sleep. And obviously there's, you could see struggle in Sammy's head about whether or not he should go back in there, but he did not do that. And, I don't know, man, there were good aspects of this episode of SmackDown, but overall this just, this wasn't it. Not at all. But that is SmackDown. Going to do predictions for Saturday night's main event taking place in Fort Wayne, Indiana at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum. The internet is making fun of this event, by the way.
I wonder why.
Because there's no main event stars.
There's no main event stars. This is like AEW Battle of the Belts.
So they're comparing it to AEW as a negative?
Yeah. Yep.
And they're admitting that AEW has a negative?
I don't know. Well, they don't have Battle of the Belts anymore. I thought Battle of the Belts worked when it worked, and then towards the end they just stopped. Or not towards the end. Towards the beginning and the middle and the end, it just stopped working.
So you're going to tell me that Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, those aren't main eventers?
Well,
okay. Sounds like somebody's a little bit anti a specific gender, but hey, whatever. Marks are marks.
Which, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up. That is insane that they're doing three women's matches and only two men's matches.
That's incredible. Like,
good on WWE for that.
Is nobody else like recognizing this at all?
I didn't see anybody saying that. I think that's fantastic, though.
Like, I don't know. Like, when you look at this card, that stands out right away to me, is that it's three women's matches and two men's matches. And in my regard, in my eyes, I feel like we are going to have the main event as one of the women's matches.
I just don't know which one main events here. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's Becky and Sol Ruka. I don't know. Or maybe they put the spotlight on the Intercontinental Championship.
Honestly, I would open with the IC.
Yeah, I would open
with
the
IC to get people eyes on it.
Yeah.
You know.
But we'll start. But Becky Lynch, Sol Ruka. I'm going to say Sol Ruka wins. And then I assume Sol Ruka gets a shot, Clash in Italy.
It's tough. All right, I'll go with Sol Ruka. I'll go with Sol Ruka. Next up, let's go over to the Tag Team Championship for the World Tag Team Championship, The Vision. Logan Paul and Austin Theory defending against the Street Profits. I'm going to go with The Vision.
Yeah, I think The Vision will retain. It seems like they're going to break the Street Profits up finally. I don't know. I don't want
to
see
that. I think
that,
but I mean, it looks like they're going to split. I mean, looks like it. Even though they say that they are trying to rebuild a tag team division.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, man. You had the rumors. Best of the best, man. How do you get rid of Motor City Machine Guns and the New Day and be like, well, we got to rebuild, brother? Come on.
Then you have the rumors of Enzo and Cass coming back.
Yeah. Obviously, though, it frees up money to sign more people, but then that story came out. They're not even looking to sign other people. They're just looking to put random teams together.
I'll be honest.
Which is why we're getting Mizkit, but I like Mizkit, so I'm not going to complain about that as a random team.
And I'm excited to see New Day do stuff outside of WWE. They've been with WWE in that machine for so long where I'm excited to see what they can do.
I don't know.
Let's move on to the
6-woman tag match. Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss taking on Jade Cargill, Mia Yim, and B-Fab.
Oh, obviously, a team featuring Mishin and B-Fab are going to overcome Ripley and Flair and Bliss.
It's a tough, tough decision here, man. It could easily be them.
No. Ripley, Flair, Bliss is my pick. 110%.
I don't know, man.
Don't get me wrong. If it's Jade, Mishin, and B-Fab, that would be fantastic for those three. because of the name value that Ripley, Flair, and Bliss do bring to the table. That would be huge for, I mean, Jade doesn't really need it, but for Mishin and Beefhead, that would be awesome.
Like, they were obviously on their way to losing on SmackDown last week, and Jade Cargill caused the DQ. I feel like it's very possible that we could see them walk out with the win. And, I mean, Jade Cargill is chasing the championship, so I don't know, man. I'm going to say Jade Cargill and B-Fab and Mia Yim.
All right. Well, let's go over to, I'm doing the IC Championship, Penta versus Paige. I think Penta's going to retain.
Ethan Page.
Yeah?
I mean, no, I'm saying Ethan Page. You have to specify because there is literally somebody named Page.
Oh, true. Yeah, I'm going
to say
I'm
Penta.
Going Penta.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, on to potentially the main event. Paige and Brie Bella defending against the Irresistible Forces. I do think that Paige and Brie are going to win.
Yeah, I'm going to say Paige and Brie Bella retain the tag team championships.
I do think that they're going to lose that at SummerSlam, though. Whoever they face.
I want to see an NXT match before that happens, and I don't see that happening.
To be honest with you, I don't know if I want to see them versus an NXT talent, because I don't know how that's going to look.
I mean, first of all, it's not like NXT has a crazy amount of teams or anything. Right now, the only team that I could think of off the top of my head would be Ren QCC. It would be nice to see some sort of title match, just be like, hey, remember NXT? We're supposed to defend them in NXT as well. But that is our predictions for Saturday night's main event. Going to take a quick little break, and I'll be right back here on Marking Out.
This is the new effing show, Jerry Lynn, and you're listening to Marking Out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Marking Out, episode 798. Moving back to AAA from last week, it kicked off with La Parca and Mr. Iguana picking up the victory over Money Machine, NGD, and Tokyo Bad Boys. Given that none of the other teams are pushed, I think this was an obvious outcome. I do think NGD had a really good showing with their heel work here. And I'm also pretty sure that everyone else in the match was heel, except for Mr. Iguana and La Parca. But after the match, the War Raiders showed up, destroyed all the heels, which to me didn't make sense because they've kind of been heels in AAA with Los Psycho Circus and just randomly brawling. And then they destroyed the heel teams only. Backstage, we had a segment with Dorian Roldan. He tried to talk to Maricel Pena again. And Tejano Jr. opened the door and told him to stop because they're having a meeting about that general manager spot. And I thought that was really funny. Cibernetico also had a meeting later on. We saw Galeno pick up the victory over Chris Carter and Drago. When I saw Drago was announced for this, I was excited. Turns out it's not the same Drago that everyone knows from Lucha Underground and AAA past. I think it was interesting to see a handicap match here, but it showcased Galeno and his strength. Almost came out to watch this, so maybe it'll set up a match between the two of them. We saw the Creeds pick up the victory over Aerostar and El Fiscal. I think this went how you'd expect it to go, but I feel like El Fiscal could have had more offense here. We just saw those brawls with him and Abismo Negro Jr. So I feel like there should have been more. But Julius makes Aerostar tap out, holds on to the ankle lock. Brutus beats him down. El Fiscal tries to make the save. Brutus takes him out. Los Americanos run down to fight them. OG ran out to fight with them. And then before they could unmask Bravo, El Grande Americano ran down. OG tries to get him to fight him, And then Ryo jumped on him. They all fought. Los Americanos came out on top. And El Grande Americano's promo afterwards I thought was awesome. I like that he said that the match, it's going to be for more than just the mask. It's for Pimpy. It's for Ojito de Huevo. It's for Andrea Basarte. As well as Mexican Pride. I thought that was a very, very well done close and a very well done promo. Moving over to TNA, it opened with the system. Eddie Edwards said that they're one step away from holding all the gold in TNA. Put Santana on notice. Everyone was solid in their promo here. Cedric called out Fabian Aichner. Aichner comes out. He said that he's there for respect, redemption, and recognition. And he put Cedric on notice. The fans are already behind him, so I think that's good. The system goes out to take him out. He comes out on top. Indy Hartwell picked up the victory over Elena Black via disqualification. Ariana Grace did commentary with Stax here as well. And I enjoyed the match. Stax distracted her at one point, distracted Indy Hartwell. Ariana Grace knocks off Indy Hartwell. And then she blames Santino for not being champion anymore. Santino came out. Stax starts pushing him. He goes for a Cobra. Daria Ray came out to yell at Santino. It seems like we're going to be seeing some sort of mixed tag match between the two of four of them. But next week, we're going to be seeing Santino versus Stax. We saw Matt Hardy versus pick up the victory over Vincent. The Hardys theme played at first. And Vincent cut that off because he wasn't expecting that theme song to play. And then Broken Matt's theme song played. Jeff Hardy and Dutch were cuffed to the ring post for this match. And despite being cuffed, Dutch still got involved. At one point, Vincent claimed that he hurt his ankle, takes off his boot, tries to use it as a weapon. Matt Hardy ducks it, eventually bites his foot. Later on, bites his hand to get him off the top rope. And then Vincent reverses the twist of fate, pushes Matt Hardy into the referee. And he goes, takes the key to unlock Dutch. The lights go out. And then Willow showed up. And he clocked Vincent. Disappears. Jeff Hardy's just gone. And then Matt Hardy hit the twist of fate, gets the victory there. We saw Mustafa Ali pick up the victory over Chaz Starboy Hall to retain the championship. I think it was cool to see Starboy here. I was really hoping that we would see somebody from AAA answer Mustafa Ali's challenge. So this gives me hope, given that Hall is part of WWE, is part of Evolve. I don't see why we can't see somebody from AAA. And I think Hall was very impressive here. It was an enjoyable match. Order 4 got involved. Match kept going, though. Didn't really have an effect on the match. Mustafa Ali ends up getting a backslide and then a very nice bridging pin to get the victory there. We saw Zaya Brookside pick up the victory over Jada Stone. This had good back and forth. Brookside worked on Jada Stone's leg, and Stone had a good showing with her leg at limited capacity. But at the end of the match, Zaya Brookside kicks her leg out, hits Darkside, and gets the victory. We saw Mike Santana in the main event pick up the victory over Steve Macklin to retain the championship. Daria Ray and Eric Young both spoke to Macklin earlier on to just remind him what he's going in there to fight for. And he controlled a good chunk of this match. I just didn't think he was going to win. There were moments where, like, if the match was live, I wouldn't have been surprised if he won. But because it was taped, I wasn't expecting that. Macklin sets up a table at one point. Later on, ends up going through it. Santana gets him back in the ring, hits a frog splash. Macklin kicks out. Mike Santana goes for spin the block. Macklin collapses. And Santana goes to help him up, gets hit with a super kick. That was a callback to their match to where Macklin literally was concussed. So I don't necessarily like them using that, but Mike Santana hits Spin the Block, gets the victory. I thought this was a very good main event between Mike Santana and Steve Macklin. So that is TNA. Hey, Brandon, got any shout-outs?
This is Yoda, and listening to Brandon's shout-outs, you are.
The first shout-out goes to The Punisher, One Last Kill. Are you caught up on any of this? Do you care about any of this?
Not caught up and don't care.
Well, it came out on Disney Plus last week. This was to set up The Punisher for the MCU, for the movies at least. He will be in Spider-Man Brand New Day. That comes out in July. In this, he ends up becoming that Punisher character again, which prior to that, we last saw him in Daredevil Born Again Season 1, which I finished the second season of also, and I feel like that show is just like absolutely fantastic. I don't know if this is a spoiler or not. I don't know if anybody's not caught up, so technically, yes, it would be a spoiler if you're not. I think it's awesome to see Jessica Jones. I think it's great to see Luke Cage back. I assume we're going to be seeing them in Spider-Man as well. Charlie Cox said that Daredevil will not be in it. But I don't know if that's just Charlie Cox being like, yeah, brother. Kayfabing us, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed Punisher on Disney Plus. I will say, staying on theme with John Bernthal, I had no clue that Hulu dropped a special prequel episode of The Bear called Gary. The other week, it follows John's character, Mikey. It follows Eben Moss Bacharach's character, Richie. They both wrote the episode, but they get a job from Oliver Platt's character. He's not in it, but like via phone, I guess, via character. You assume you know who it is. They take a road trip from Chicago to Gary, Indiana to do some sort of business deal. And I enjoyed this episode. The final season of The Bear comes out next month, and I am not ready for that to be the final episode. Final season, I should say.
I still haven't seen a single episode of it.
I think it's a fantastic show, man.
No, I'm sure. People love it.
I'm giving a shout-out to Marty, Life is Short. New documentary out on Netflix about Martin Short. Absolute comedy legend. I think it was great to see Martin Short talk about himself. I see a bunch of other comedians talk about him. There's home movie clips and interviews with people like Tom Hanks, Steve Martin, Eugene Levy, Andrea Martin, Steven Spielberg, Catherine O'Hara. It was really nice to see like new footage of Catherine O'Hara. So if you're a fan of comedy, if you're a fan of Martin Short, if you like documentaries, I would say 100% go check that out. And then my final shout out, Tom Kane unfortunately passed away this week at the age of 64. He was a voice actor, voice Professor Utonium in the Powerpuff Girls, Darwin in the Wild Thornberries. He did a few voices in the animated Star Wars projects, a bunch of other voices, but he also voices stuff in the Disney parks via Star Tours, the Disney World monorail system, the bus system, as well as the narrator for Happily Ever After, the fireworks show at Magic Kingdom. For the monorail, he says, "Please stand clear of the closing doors. Por favor, manténgase alejado de las puertas." Which,
legendary.
If you are a fan of Cooking with Brandon, I use that for Cooking with Brandon Episode 4. So, thank you to Tom Kane for my childhood, for my adulthood as well. Go out, watch his projects, and celebrate him. If you're at Disney World, go watch Happily Ever After.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my shout-outs. Now it's time for our
Mark Out Moment of the Week.
That is right, our Mark Out Moment of the Week. I thought I had a really good mark out moment of the week this week, last week, because after we recorded last week, 2K put out a tweet saying, keeping it filthy, taking a page from 1999, this persona of Rey Mysterio Jr. is coming to the ringside past season 3. I marked the absolute heck out over that. Rushed to their Instagram page because they forgot to post a picture on Twitter. And it's a filthy animals Rey Mysterio in a mask. Instantly deflated that mark out moment. If they needed him masked, I don't know why they didn't take his 2001 entrance mask and just modify it so it covers his whole face.
Seems like lazy booking at times.
That was so... I'm going to be so disappointed if he doesn't have the Filthy Animals theme song also.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope they have that. They've been showing off videos of the next ringside pass. It's Torrey Wilson, La Parca, Matt Cardona, and Brian Pillman. So I think they all look great. I'm excited for that pack big time. La Parca is like fantastic. So, you have any markout moments?
Yeah. Markout moments for me. Everything I'm marking out is Danhausen related. Everything with Danhausen. Wow. Everything.
Should we not jinx it?
Once again, I think that he was my markout. I think I mentioned last week and the week before I was marking out over Danhausen. Still marking out over Danhausen. He's going to be my markout moment for probably the next year.
I mean, you should cross your fingers, knock some wood. But we'll see. I will also say that I marked out. I didn't mark out that Will Ferrell hosted SNL. I'm not a Will Ferrell guy. But he hosted Saturday Night Live, and the opening monologue, I think, was literally the funniest thing that I've ever seen with Will in it, because Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers came out as if he was Will Ferrell doing the intro. And I feel like the people in the crowd didn't even realize that it wasn't Will.
I thought that was pretty funny.
I popped right away. I thought that was absolutely hilarious. Because they go from doing the cold open they did, Will was in that. And then they run the credits and everything. And then Chad Smith came out. I literally popped. I watched it. I don't know if it was like 3 a.m. or something. I popped big time for that. I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, that is really funny.
So if you have not seen that, I would highly recommend going to check that out. It's on Peacock. It's on YouTube. So you have any other markout moments? That's it, right?
Yeah, take it home.
Well, that is Marking Out episode 798. Thank you so much for tuning in. You could follow us on Twitter at Marking Out at BTTG161 on all platforms. Chris Sweendog, Sam Sweeney85, David PTDPT on all platforms. Facebook.com/Marking Out, YouTube.com/Marking Out11. Instagram is Marking Out 11 as well. ProWrestlingTees.com/Marking Out if you'd like to support us by purchasing some t-shirts. We would greatly appreciate that. You could check us out on TikTok at Marking Out. You could rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, iHeartRadio, YouTube, MarkingOut.com, and we wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors. Have a fantastic week.